We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm at HN Sports Talk, up rolling Wednesday. That means mailbag day. The guy with the bug out eyes is Vince D'Addario. I'm Sean Stiers. I tell you what, man, what a beautiful day
today. You're not kidding.
If the weather's like this everywhere, it's no wonder there's nobody here in the chat tonight.
I came up with like an excuse because I knew the gym classes were outside that I had to go talk to one of the teachers. Like I was going outside today. You know, I was getting out of the little cellar, you know, office and getting outside because it was absolutely gorgeous. And I'll be honest with you, I was this close to bailing on you. About an hour ago, I got a call that they needed help at the track meet, at the unified track meet. And I was like, oh, it's so nice outside, but I've got plans.
Unified track meet, that's like the special needs thing,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes. That's They're doing senior night tonight.
Okay.
And the PA announcer's wife got a flat tire.
Oh.
And so they're like, we can always call Vince, but Vince had plans. So...
Vince did have plans, and I'm glad that Vince kept his plans.
Yes, that's right. I couldn't bail on you. Bail on you guys.
That's right. Well, it is mailbag night, and we have a few questions coming in. Salty got in late, but he filled up the queue relatively quickly. While we're waiting for... Was that you or me?
You paused on me.
Did your internet leave for a second? Both of my, I got the spinning circles, but I just looked, and according to this, my internet is fine.
You paused on me. I don't see that my internet is a problem, but.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we're back.
We're right back. Get the questions in.
Okay.
Literally, I'll just be a couple seconds. I'm not going to go very far.
Oh, okay? All right. That's exciting.
I'm going to show you something.
Oh, I can't. Oh, no. I think I know what's coming. This is exciting. And the problem is I did not do my duty on my end. So I think this is going to be very, very interesting. There it is. Wow.
Look at this.
Wow.
Look at this. Huh? This is what I was talking about.
That is. Yeah.
Silky smooth starter jacket.
That's quality.
You think about that.
That's
got, you know, and it's like it's used. Like the jacket itself is in really good condition. There's like one of the letters that's got a little tear in the stitching.
You can't tell.
But it's like this thing has got to be at least 30 years old, and it is sweet.
30? It might be more than that. I'm just saying.
I know. And it's the Cowboys color that I like. It's the older royal blue.
Yeah.
Not the navy blue that they use more of these days.
Right.
This is jacket one. I'm waiting on the other one that I ordered, different team.
Okay.
Come in. I got a message from the guy over the weekend that he's been on vacation in Florida. And so he was driving home. Yeah. It's like, you're selling stuff on eBay, dude. You know, take it with you.
Seriously. That's right. There's mailboxes everywhere.
That's right. Mailbox, et cetera, whatever it's called.
Right.
Okay. So in the meantime, we do have a few questions rolling in. Get your questions in for the mailbag show here tonight. Otherwise, you're just going to sit here and look at my silky smooth Cowboys jacket.
Now, see, it's very interesting because when you say starter jacket, that's not what I envision in my head.
Really? We were talking after the show, like you're thinking like the zip up with the kind of like the puffier multicolors and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
That was like the later edition.
Okay.
This is actually even got like starters on the sleeve there.
Yeah, I was thinking like, you know, it's got the starter logo on the zipper, like the pull.
I know what you're talking about.
Is the starter. Yeah, that's the kind that I had. So I'm still in search of, by the way.
Salty wants to know if I'm fondling my jacket. I could be, Salty. There are rumors.
Yes. The answer is yes. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I showed this to Jesse and he's like, because the Cowboys play in Cleveland and Pittsburgh this year, both.
Okay.
And so we're kind of waiting to see if either one of those is going to be an option to go. Obviously, since Jesse lives in Cleveland, that would be the most convenient. But it'll depend on if it's November. You know what I mean? Like, you know the variables, basically. We cover Notre Dame football, and I do Notre Dame women's basketball on the radio. So,
right.
The schedule comes out here within the next couple of weeks at some point. So,
well, and luckily, you know, NFL's on a different day. And if it happens to be an away game for Notre Dame, I think you're in great shape. Great shape.
I know. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. We'll see. Yeah. Probably going to be, my guess is it'll be in November and I'll be doing a basketball game when it happens, you know, but you never know. But he was saying like, I've got to wear the jacket, you know, if I come there, obviously if it's
not
in
wrong.
September, I can't wear the jacket, but
you're going to wear the jacket. See. You're wearing the jacket.
No matter what. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tommy, speaking of Jesse, he was asking if I can text him. I guess Tommy sent him an email about Coach Freeman going to, I think it's Massillon is where he's going. I did text him, waiting to hear back, Tommy. So I will let you know. Yep. And in the meantime, DK, of course, making fun of Tommy. telling him that he's asking if Jesse can come out to play because he won't answer the emails. So
don't feel bad. He doesn't answer my emails either. So you guys are all in the same boat.
I don't think you guys answer each other emails. That's the problem. You've got a lack of communication going.
That's fair. I'm trying to get him to buy something from me. So
I need
him to get on the, you know, before I put it out to the ether.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right. Well, let's jump into some questions here.
All right.
The transfer portal deadline has come and gone.
Yeah.
And Salty saying it closed with no Irish entries after Micah Bell. The scholarship count is 86. Are you surprised? And what happens next? And now, before we specifically...
You can just throw a bunch in there if you want.
I was going to say, because there were kind of some that went along with this as well that I wanted to find here real quick. And he says, without players leaving via the portal, scholarships at 86, what needs do the Irish have in the portal and how will they achieve them? So two parts, obviously. They are at 86. I mean, you're only one away from the limit. I guess you go ahead and start off with your thoughts on the lack of activity in the transfer portal.
I'm shocked, frankly. Absolutely shocked because we know that they need to get under because they're going to be bringing people in. And we know they're going to bring people in. We know that they don't even have a punter on the roster, really. I mean, they kind of do. So you know they're going to bring in at least a punter. But I saw that there's a pretty high-end, you know, offensive tackle out there that I'm sure Notre Dame is at least going to be in contact with. You know, They've been in contact with some DBs. And so I'm shocked that they didn't get a little bit lower, to be honest with you. Now, I'm fighting a sneeze right now. I can feel it, and it's
I can tell something was going on. I wasn't sure if it was sneeze or exactly what that was.
But no, I think that you're still going to see some attrition. Obviously, it could be a graduate. It could be a medical red, you know, a medical situation. I mean, you're going to see attrition from the roster because they got to get to 85, and they're going to bring in guys. So I'm just surprised that they're not under the 85 at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen the Champions Lounge. Brian posted something about that, and I think he talked about it on his show earlier today.
Okay.
As well. Essentially, there were a lot of, you know, sort of hard conversations that were had with guys, like upfront conversations, you know, whatever way you want to characterize it. And based on that, I think they thought some guys were going to leave, but those guys have all opted to stay around and stick it out and, you know, battle for jobs and that kind of thing. And so now that's good, because I think that that means that, you know, one, you're being honest with guys, and two, you've got the kind of guys on your roster who aren't just going to tuck and run and who want to stay and, you know, fight for jobs and that kind of thing. But it obviously makes things difficult when you're trying to manage a roster, and you do have to go out, and Marcus Freeman has already said they're going to go out and get a punter.
Right.
They still need to bring in at least one cornerback because of the depth situation that they've got there after Micah Bell left, and with Benjamin Morrison still injured. And there is the, you know, the right tackle spot that is the biggest, you know, that'll at least be the biggest competition going into fall training camp, just if things stand right now. So if you filled those positions, that's three more you're going to add. So now you're at 89. Bottom line is, it sounds like there are going to be some medical retirements that will be coming up and that kind of thing. And you know, what that also means is they still honor, you know, the scholarship, but you know, you're not playing football anymore, so you don't count towards the roster. I mean, that's kind of the next step, because, you know, again, we always say it always works itself out. Well, you also always typically have transfers, but nobody decided to go. And, you know, and that is, it's obviously extremely rare in these last couple of years that we're living in the transfer portal era, where nobody left.
Yeah.
You know, except for Micah Bell and Clarence Lewis.
Shocking, to be honest with you. You know, we've been hearing whispers of different names and different things and, you know, all of these different deals. And I'm just shocked we didn't get more announcements, to be honest. We were all kind of wondering to ourselves, are they just like holding out? You know, what is happening? But then deadlines come and gone. Now, I do wonder, and I'm kind of thinking out loud here, you know, you can jump into the portal anytime when you're a graduate. Any of these guys that are getting their degree this May, are they technically graduates right now, or do they got to wait until they actually get the diploma in their hand before they can, you know, still potentially jump into the portal? Does that make sense? Like, the guys that are getting their degree right now, like,
those guys could jump into the portal anytime. Well, I mean, if they intended on leaving, they could still put their name in the portal.
Yeah, they could jump in at any time.
When it was going to be. Yeah.
So, you know, could one of those guys be one of the guys that jumps into the portal? Maybe. I don't know. I just, obviously they're going to get to the 40, to the 85. It's just a matter of how they end up doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Follow up to that, more specifically, Salty asked about Kenny Minchie and Jaden Mickey. He said they were the subject of portal rumors, but have stayed put. Should either have entered the portal, and why?
I didn't hear any of those rumors, to be honest with you.
This is why they're rumors, first of all, right? Like, this is why they're rumors. Just because things start, but you know, usually it's some fan who starts wringing his hand and starts something on a message board or on social media, right? Like, that's where
100%. But look,
typically springs from.
If a quarterback was going to leave, then I think Kenny Minchie would have been the one to go. I mean, if you look at the depth chart, you look at who's there, it feels like Kenny Minchie might be the odd man out. So that maybe that's why his name was floated out there, but all four quarterbacks are still on the roster. As far as Jaden Mickey, he's the number three corner right now, in my opinion. He's going to play a ton. He's going to play a ton, and he can play field, and he can play boundary. So he's literally one snap away from being, well, from playing even more. But even as the third corner, he's going to play a bunch. So I don't know that there was any incentive for Jaden Mickey to leave. He, you know, Notre Dame's got a very, very,
I mean, obviously, unless defense, he was going to get some massive NIL deal to go someplace else, and that's always a factor in this. I mean, just look, we were talking about Nick Saban the other day, and the fact that Nick Saban in the draft coverage talked about trying to get that Toledo cornerback to go in the portal, even though he was never in the portal. So you know that there's a lot of that, at the very least, indirect, you know, roundabout conversation going on. So maybe some of that happened, but, you know, like Josh was saying, it was an amateur Notre Dame website about Mickey and Minchie. And now, you know, there are, you know, and again, like, I don't want to point the fingers because I don't know where it came from, but there are a lot of basically blogs and aggregators out there who pick and choose and maybe even start speculating and stuff like that. And this is why, you know, we don't, like, when this stuff happens, we're not going to mention guys by name, because then all it does is it turns into something bigger. There's no sense, you know, talking about this until it happens. Now, with the quarterback specifically, like, obviously that's been discussed a little bit more because of the very specific situation that you have. But I felt like, and I've said this before, with Angeli and Minchie, and this is nothing against them, but for where they are right now in their career and their development,
Right.
It's not like they were just going to go someplace unless it was, you know, like a group of five or, you know, like a lower, you know, they were going to have to go down to have a, you know, a realistic chance at probably being a starter right away. And they can stay here and still develop for another year, continue, you know, to battle for spots on the depth chart. And then if they decide to stick around next spring and, you know, battle for the job next spring once Riley Leonard is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, you're absolutely right about the quarterback position. Like Angeli could go someplace and start at a lower level school. And I'm not going to get into it because people got mad at me when I started mentioning the type of school. So whatever. That's still my thought.
He's better than that, Vince. He's better than that.
I know. I'm just a blaspheme. But and then Kenny Minchie, I think if he left, I'm not sure unless he dipped, you know, down to a lower level, but like I could see him going to a high power five as the immediate backup, though, as well. And I don't think he's going to get that at Notre Dame this year.
But again, so you're still a backup. You're still a backup.
Absolutely. But I don't think he would be third or fourth. You know what I mean? And so that would be an immediate step up. Now, is that a reason to leave Notre Dame? Not in my opinion, but maybe it would be in his. Like, that's the only way I could justify it, you know, for Kenny Minchie.
Yeah. But again, obviously, that is not the case because we're sitting here the day after the transfer portal and Kenny Minchie's not in the transfer portal. So I think a lot of people are shocked that all four of those guys are going to be back this fall, but that is nothing but good for your program. The fact that you've got all four of those guys and they can continue to develop and see what happens, you know, both on the depth chart this year behind Riley Leonard and going forward to next season as well.
What do we got? What do we got?
Andre, and don't forget, it is mailbag night. So jump in the chat, get your mailbag questions in there. Don't be shy. Andre asks, if you have four running backs playing in the game, what should the distribution be between the players?
Man, that is that's a loaded question. I think it's going to be 1A and 1B. With Love and Price, and then the other two guys, if they're playing four, so it would be like maybe 60, 30, 8, and 2, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see the fourth guy getting a bulk of carries, and I think the third guy could end up being maybe a goal line situation, and then the other two are going to get the absolute bulk.
Right. I mean, you would expect Jabron Payne to be short yardage, goal line type guy like he was last year. That was his main job.
He would be that 10%-ish, you know, kind of a carry situation. Yeah.
Like you said, Jadorian Price and Jeremiah Love are the 1A and 1B. And because Jeremiah Love also has that receiver, like both of those guys, you know, were doing it in the spring. Love more so than Price, but Price was also out there working at receiver some this spring. So I think that that's a situation where, you know, again, like they can both be on the field, obviously, at the same time, if that happens. And then the fourth job is going to be interesting because like Kedron Young was injured at the end of spring. So we didn't really get a chance to see him do anything live. And Aeneas Williams was out there in the blue gold game, looked pretty good, ran pretty physically and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so that'll be kind of, you know, job.
That could be game to game, honestly, who that maybe that fourth guy is. They want to give another guy, you depending know, a chance, opponent, an opportunity, and, you know,
whatever.
You know, absolutely. And again, what did Dylan McCullough say? There's eight spots open. I think Love and Price are going to occupy the majority of those eight. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know that you want to go four deep, if I'm being honest. Like, you might in games where the score is out of hand or, you know, that kind of a thing. But if it's a close game, I want two, maybe three, you know, out there. That's let's not get crazy.
Good point. Salty asking about portal activity for men's and women's basketball. Oof. Tom Noy is going to be with us tomorrow. So we can talk to Tom about men's basketball. I mean, in terms of women's basketball, we've pretty much discussed it here. Nat Marshall, I don't know if you saw, she signed with Miami, I think, over the weekend. So that's where she is going to be. KK Bransford came back. And, you know, they were hosting some different, but you know, transfer candidates and stuff like that. But as of yet, no signees. Yeah. But I would imagine that that is going to be coming up here relatively shortly as well, like after graduation and
yeah,
kind of stuff. Today was the last day of class over there at Notre Dame.
Oh, all right.
I saw on social media, Maddie Westbelt and Olivia Miles were out giving away cookies, I guess, to students.
Where
like
an now?
Appreciation for, you know, like support at games and
that's that cool.
kind of thing. So, yeah. Very cool.
For them.
Joe wants to know which player gets more snaps, Faison or Greathouse?
I mean, the follow-up by Tommy Guns. I'm going to throw Tommy Guns some love here. That. He says, Joe, are you specifically talking snaps at slot position? Which I think complicates the question even more, because if it's just snaps, period, it's Greathouse. Because Greathouse is going to play multiple positions.
Yes.
Faison most likely is going to be in the slot the vast majority of the time. They'll move him around a little bit, but I still think Greathouse is going to be the guy that is moving around a lot to really maximize, you know, those matchups. And so Greathouse is the answer to the original question, but Tommy's skew of the slot,
yeah,
I think, might go to Faison, to be honest, because I just think he's going to be in the slot more often, but I think you're going to see both of them on the field.
Absolutely.
Together.
You know, and that's something that Mike Dembrock and Mike Brown both talked about, Jaden, this spring, is Greathouse's versatility, and we saw him line up in different spots. And with what they've got on this receiver roster, that's what they needed. They needed someone
yes.
who could do that. They obviously wanted that to happen last year, but it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out. And Jaden Greathouse has shown himself to be that guy. So you're absolutely right. Just straight up, who gets more snaps? It's going to be Greathouse because of the flexibility, the versatility that he right. has. But most snaps in the slot, it'll be Faison, I believe, as well. Thank you for the super chat, Tyler Evans.
Woo!
What fifth round Notre Dame player is a bigger steal in the NFL draft?
All right, remind me who was drafted in the fifth round, because I don't have that written down in front of me.
Cam Hart, Audric Estime, J.D. Bertrand.
Cam Hart, Audric Estime, J.D. Bertrand. Well, that's tough. I'm gonna go. Cause the funny thing is, I think those three. Well, they're Joel, obviously. I think those three have a really good chance of really being in the league for a long time in whatever role they can carve out. But I think Cam Hart. I'm gonna go Cam Hart. I think he's the biggest steal in the fifth round because of the medicals. I think he dropped, but I think he's the biggest steal there in the fifth round.
My initial thought, like Hart was the guy who came to mind, both, you know, because we thought that he would go so much higher. But then I kind of, as I went through the Rolodex before, you know, I asked you the question, I was like, well, but Estime's there too. And I'm going to go with Audric Estime. And it may yeah. not be necessarily, it might not be immediate for either one of those guys, but I'm going to go with Audric Estime. I think that he's a guy who, even in an era where you've got running back splitting the load and all that kind of stuff, I think ultimately he's going to end up being a multi-1,000-yard rusher here down the road.
Nice.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but I think it's going to ultimately happen. So I will go Audric Estime because I think that he can be that workhorse type guy. I mean, I think we all kind of thought that. But, I mean, Hart would obviously – I mean – those are your two options. You know, J.D. Bertrand was more slotted, I think, fifth round, whereas Cam Hart or Estime could have gone anywhere, really, from
yeah.
the third round on. And the fact that they both ended up going in the fifth round, I think, shocked both of us when it was all said and done.
No doubt about it.
I'm not sure what Tommy meant by this.
Buy, sell, hold.
Oh. Was this the start of the show? 1800. He was going military time, so he was saying...
Oh.
Starting after 6 o'clock.
We started right at 6, by the way.
We did.
We were on the money today.
Came in hot.
Guess you got to buy it.
And by the way, Salty and DK, you're welcome. I took off the Cowboys jacket for him. It was getting a little warm in this room.
It's freezing down to my... I need to do the whole, close the grates down in the basement, you mm-hmm. know, so we can actually get some cold air upstairs. You know, yeah, it's freezing down here.
Ryan, just shut up. Heard wow. Estimate might get traded to Dallas. Okay.
He's just poking the bear. That's what he's doing.
I know. DK says Marist was the steal. Okay. I see we're all just having fun. We're just all having fun.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Notre Dame and Ohio State had almost no portal activity, while Michigan had 17 players leave. What's going on in Michigan?
Well, what's going on in Michigan is now in L.A. That's the problem. Their head coach left. I mean, when the head coach leaves, man, you're going to see a lot of defection. I mean, that's just par for the course. They also had a bunch of guys drafted and a bunch of guys leave to go to the next, whatever the next phase of their life is going to be. So, this Michigan roster is going to look a lot different than it did last year. There's no doubt about that. And not only is the roster going to look a lot different, but the schedule gets a lot harder. So all those Michigan fans out there, they're not going to be repeating. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to coaching change. And you would have thought that it wouldn't have been like you'd have 17 guys leave when you have that kind of coaching consistency, since they hired from within. With
they were trying to keep the consistency, and I think that backfired on them, to be perfectly honest with you. I think they were trying to have as much consistency as possible to keep the roster as, you know, put together as possible. I just feel like that didn't happen, and so you neglected going out and getting a big name. Now, I don't know what big, quote unquote, big name there could have been to bring in. I just think they made the wrong decision. Now, as a Notre Dame fan who hates Michigan, they made the right decision.
See, I was like, the way they played when Moore had to fill in for Harbaugh and all that stuff, you know, like I thought that he should have been the guy. Now, you know, I haven't paid that close attention to what's going on at Michigan, you know, in terms of exactly who these guys are. So are the majority of them depth chart guys? Are they guys who actually would have been starters? That kind of thing. I don't know, because that does matter, you know, when you kind of look at this and you know, make some of the assumptions and stuff like that.
Based, I know, on the recruiting's hurting. I know that much. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that's good. That's good.
Oh, it's good. Great for Notre Dame.
Michigan out of there. One more playoff spot for everybody else, right?
And one less team for them to compete against on the recruiting trail. So, bye-bye, boys. It's been nice knowing you.
Yep. Yeah, they did get Tony Alford for Michigan for running back coach. But, you know, what exactly happens there? I don't know. And that was an interesting move. Like, you don't see too many guys go from Ohio State to Michigan or Michigan to Ohio State.
Very true. That's not something that's kind of frowned upon, actually. Does
that tell you about that guy with the dyed beard down there in Columbus?
Just for Men's NIL deal.
Salty asks, Notre Dame players are going into the summer period. How do they train? Who puts together a training plan? And are they all together in South Bend?
Well, Salty, this is a good question. A little peek behind the curtain, as they say. And so, yes, the players are going into the summer period. They'll go home for a little while, and then they will come back usually around the first week of June. Is when they end up coming back, and you'll see that all over social media with the freshmen coming in and going into their dorms and all that stuff. And then, so how do they train? Well, they obviously train in the weight room. They do a lot of cardio. They do a lot of conditioning, you know, all that stuff. All the hard training gets done in the summertime. And then on their own, they'll do, you know, 7-on-7s, and they'll get the team together, you know, as they call it, like captain-led type practices, you know, player-led. And who puts it together? That would be a combination of Lauren Lando and Marcus Freeman. They get together, they decide on a plan, and then Lando is in charge. I mean, he's the one, because the coaches can't really have contact. And so Lando is in charge, but he is executing the game plan that he and Marcus Freeman put together. So that's basically what it is all summer. And then the entire month of June, you know, these coaches are out recruiting and they're on camp. Well, they're on campus because players are coming to them in June.
Visits. And
then July recruiting, obviously there's a lot of commitments in July, and then you got the season. So summer goes fast, man. There's no doubt about that.
It does. Grill and chill in July.
The grill and chill, man. Still waiting for that invite. I'll go to my first grill and chill.
Still haven't got it, huh?
Nope. Haven't gotten it yet. I mean, I just feel like they're not, they're just, you know, right under their nose, but no.
Notre Dame is fast becoming Sons of NFL Players U. Is this coincidental or deliberate or part of, well, on the part of both the coaches and NFL alumni and their sons?
I mean, I think there's a trend there, but I also think that NFL guys know what a good program looks like, and they know what a head coach and, you know, on down, right? They know what that looks like to get their kids to the next level. And, you know, along with the education, obviously, that's a big part of it. But from a preparation standpoint, from a development standpoint, they see good things at Notre Dame. And they see how they're treated. And they see how their kids are treated. And they see how they're developed. And all of those different, I mean, all of that goes into why this is occurring. Now, a lot of these guys are former Notre Dame players. That's part of it. But these former Notre Dame players have obviously made contacts throughout their careers, and, you know, they talk as well, right? Those parents all talk to each other, and Notre Dame seems to be the pick for a lot of these guys, and which is fantastic. I mean, obviously Notre Dame's doing something right.
And I think that as sons of NFL guys, their dads who were in the NFL, they've obviously all been through this recruiting process in their time before as well, and they've obviously – they played in college, they played in the NFL, and I think that they have a pretty good BS detector. You know, yes, like they can sniff it out pretty quick, and they can tell who's genuine and who's full of it. And I think that Marcus Freeman obviously comes across as a very genuine person during the recruiting process, and I think that the vast majority of his staff does as well. So I think that is very appealing as well, just in the recruiting process to those guys, you know, the parents of these guys as well. So I think it's somewhat coincidental, but I also feel like when you look at the number of, you know, guys with fathers who played in the NFL, they're starting to stack up because there's always been some here and there, but it's definitely been more concentrated since Marcus Freeman took over.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of these NFL guys, their BS meter is really good, and they're not going to take the bait on the BS that some coaches feed these recruits. You know what I mean? And so it's very obvious Notre Dame recruits with honesty. And I personally appreciate that. I think that's really good, and they obviously back up what they say as well. So I you know, again, their BS meter is really good. I'll just say that.
Yeah, this is a good point too from DK. He says, "Do you know how many players those guys watched wash out? They know there's more than football." And, you know, like,
exactly.
They're going to know more than anybody. That, you know, like, the average career in the NFL is still 3.3 years. And that is not a long time. So that means by the time you're 25, 26 years old, your professional football career is done. And that's the vast, you know, the reason that average is what it is because there are guys who obviously don't even make it to 3.3 years. You know, for every Tom Brady playing 20 years, there are probably 200 more guys who only made it 1 or 2 years in the NFL. And so what are you going to fall back on at that point?
Absolutely.
And that's a great point because, you know, you can't overlook the value of the degree that you're going to get from Notre Dame.
It's an absolutely great point. And these guys see it every day with guys that don't have a good degree to fall back on. And they didn't make millions and millions and millions of dollars in the NFL, and they need to have something. Or they've seen, you know, guys invest their money very poorly, and, you know, all of those different scenarios. And Notre Dame's not immune to alumni that aren't good, that they're not good with money, right? But I would say the overall majority of the Notre Dame guys at least, you know what they're doing post Notre Dame, you know, with their money and with their futures and things like that.
Yes. USMA 87 wants to know how many camps Dylan is going to attend. Are you crowdsourcing this yet?
Yes, seriously. I'm going to be putting up a GoFundMe page. So look, the ones he's absolutely going to are all drivable. Let's just put it that way, because those are the coaches that he has the better relationships with. These big ones that get out on Twitter, they're all fun, they're exciting, all of that, and it's great. But I told him very clearly, if you don't have a personal relationship with these coaches, I'm not putting you on a plane to go to these camps, you know, and with me next to you, obviously.
If they're not actually making more contact than sending you an invitation. Right.
It's awesome to get the handwritten letters and all of these different things. It's great. But all you got to do, and I did this afternoon, is go on Twitter, type in, you know, like today was TCU specialist camp, into the search bar. And all of a sudden you get all these handwritten notes that are word for word identical to the one that he received, except for his name, obviously.
Sure.
Again, awesome to get it. But if the coach isn't going to respond and say, oh, we love you, we've watched your film, you know, all these different things, I'm not popping down $1,000 to get on a plane and go across the country. So yeah, he's currently signed up for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 maybes. So hopefully we get a college degree out of one of these. That's the goal. Right. Scholarship or otherwise. We just want to get this kid to the next level, man. That's all that matters. And they all want to see him at camp. It's what they all say. Well, we want to see you. You know, so it's something else, man. I can't even imagine some of these parents that take their kids just to everything that they get invited to.
I know.
First of all, their leg would fall off. And second of all, they've got to have an unending source of just money flowing. So
no, but I think that's a great way to pare it down. Like, are you just getting an invitation, or is someone actually making consistent contact with you and actually recruiting you out there?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a good separator.
It's a very interesting tightrope to walk. You know what I mean? You get a coach that talks to you a bunch and then ghosts you for a month, and then all of a sudden they're talking to you again. It's like, oh, you remember me. Like, so it's I'm telling you right now, it's wild, but it's fun. So we'll figure it out.
So Notre Dame landed preferred walk-on Jake Tefelsky from Central Michigan. Does he have a scholarship? What ways does Notre Dame use walk-on players? Well, preferred walk-on
means
walk-on. There's no scholarship.
That's the best part. It's like in the same sentence.
Yes.
But, Salty, you know what?
They're not using a scholarship on this guy.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault, because on Twitter, when somebody put this out, he put this out there, and I think somebody retweeted it, whatever, the replies were, are they using a scholarship on him? When it literally, in his announcement, said, taking a preferred walk-on spot.
Right.
Like, people, read all the way to the end. But no, he's a walk-on, and that means it does not count towards the 85. He's paying the bills, and obviously, for whatever reason, decided Central Michigan wasn't the spot, Notre Dame was. I mean, I don't know the backstory behind it, but he's a walk-on.
Yeah. And I mean, I would imagine, you know, again, because he's a walk-on, he's a preferred walk-on, but I would imagine he will have an opportunity maybe to show up on some special teams and things like that. But he's going to do what the rest of the walk-ons do. He's going to be out there on scout team throughout, you know, like,
yeah,
that's going to probably be the main job is scout team stuff.
He's a running back.
Might be the captain of the scout team. So
he's a running back, and he just decided to come to a school that has one of the deepest running back rooms in the country. You know what I mean? So, not going to get a scholarship probably anytime soon, but he knows exactly what he's stepping into as well.
Correct. I guess he was at the Blue Gold game
a couple of weeks ago. But Central's not that far away. I mean, I don't know where he's from specifically.
Yeah, but Central's like an hour and a half maybe?
Yeah, not like that far. Maybe two, but either way, not that far away at all.